time.
Do not adjust your frequency. This is a message from the Resistance.
Hi, I'm Phil.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Welcome to Organized Fun, the board game podcast, where this week we've got a mini-sode for you called Figure Painting Challenge. As usual, what's funny? Why?
Nothing. It's a challenge.
It is a challenge. As usual, business first. Would you believe we've got a new listening territory?
Well, everyone is one off our list of the countries we've got to visit.
I know, absolutely. It's not one we've targeted still, but it is Venezuela in South America. So I'm going to say hola to Venezuela. And I think all these new territories we're getting don't want us to do a country bait episode. So they're like, shit, quick, listen, so we don't get the country bait treatment. I think that's what's happening here.
I think, well, yeah, also I wouldn't use the word target these countries. It sounds a bit
what?
I don't know. Invite.
Invite. Entice.
Yeah.
Appeal to. Yes, but there you go. So we've got Venezuela.
So none of our A's though that we've done episodes on.
None of our A's yet have.
Well, Angola's too busy doing their tournament, probably.
Or researching their space program. So, yeah, they've got more important things to do.
Spontaneity is key.
But anyway, yeah, as I said then, so this week we've got a mini-sode about figure painting. What was that?
What?
Did you just hear a little boodle? Oh, it was Tabletopia telling me that you went offline.
Oh.
Yes. So, figure painting. Obviously, that is a big element of some tabletop games. You get, like, obviously Warhammer and war games like that. Aliens versus Predator, those figures came all unpainted, didn't they? And there's a big sort of, I don't know, it's a big part of the hobby for some people, isn't it? What are your initial thoughts on painting figures or having to paint figures or whatever?
Well, I immediately think of the Games Workshop route of things, like Warhammer.
Yes.
Because I don't really think of those as like board games.
But it is a tabletop game though, isn't it?
A tabletop game. Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing that that is such a huge thing. I mean, there's not like a town in the UK that doesn't have an actual Games Workshop shop it's dedicated.
It's called Warhammer now, so...
Oh, is it?
It is.
So I understand, because that is... I don't see that as a board game. I see that more as a... You're creating this world. You can create all of these amazing landscapes. You know, it's not set to any set rules as such, because you make the rule a bit like D&D, isn't it? In a way, there's certain base rules.
Yeah, I suppose.
So you can make things look however you want. You can create different terrain and all that kind of stuff. So it's more, I feel like that is like 60% modeling and crafting, and like the other percent
40%
like the strategy and actually playing the games. Yeah. I feel like people are more like just interested in making the model, and you can be more interested in doing that side of things.
Yeah, it's I can imagine some people might have these beautifully painted armies and stuff and might never actually play with them. They might just be, you know, models.
Yeah. Oh, I've just had a thought about Games Workshop stuff a minute. Actually, I'm going to say it now while it's still in my mind. Yeah. Has anybody put together, like, you know, a Games Workshop terrain and sort of mashed it up with those, you know, model railway villages and stuff? Imagine, why isn't there like electric trains and stuff?
Imagine a Warhammer battle with a Hornby rail set going around.
Like, why hasn't anybody added like electric trains and stuff to Warhammer and had stuff going around? Or maybe they have, I don't know, but that would be cool, wouldn't it? Put your armies on a train and send them off through a tunnel.
Out of a electric train as well, like putting all, like, you know, bull bars on the front of it and guns mounted on the side of your orc steam train or something.
Because all like the vehicles and stuff I've seen are just literal like models, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've not seen it. Why is there no electronics in Games Workshop? Somebody answer. Or maybe there is. Maybe someone's done a load. Maybe that's a whole new world there. But anyway, sorry, that just came into my head. Yeah. There's the other side of things though, where you get those games and you get the little figurines and they're all sort of one colour plastic.
Yes.
There's the ones that are all grey, which I think you are expected to paint and put together.
Yes.
Because I had a really, really old talisman, and that came with just the figures to paint, and they were grey. And they don't look great, just the grey, do they, on their little things?
No.
You could leave it like that if you want, because you get other games.
The new talisman, they're all grey, aren't they?
I was going to say, what's the new talisman? Are they just the grey?
Yeah, you know, you've played it.
I can't remember what they look like.
Okay.
Or you get those games where they are just all different colours, and you're supposed to just sort of keep them as is. And then you get sort of the alien stuff where you could should just keep it the grey as they are.
Yes.
But the thing is, though, with those, I feel like, I don't know, unless it's like a legacy thing or something, do you actually want to do that? What if it goes wrong and they are the only pieces that you've got, you know?
That's an interesting idea. So another sort of tangent, but you just mentioned the word legacy. Part of the legacy game could be you add this colour to, you paint this colour on your character, and as they change, their like armour changes or their allegiance changes or whatever. I suppose that's the equivalent of sticking a sticker on the board, isn't it? But changing the way you paint your characters based on the choices you make in the game. Legacy painting challenge.
Yeah.
That would be good.
But I would prefer, like, if you're getting a Games Workshop thing, Warhammer thing, then yeah, you are expected to paint and make.
The company is still Games Workshop, but the shop is called Warhammer.
Oh, whatever.
Semantics.
But if you're buying a set in a box like Talisman, or even sort of Alien to an extent, I would be annoyed that they're not painted. They don't come painted. They're not a set. Aren't you annoyed that they're not a set way? They could be painted any kind of way, so there's not a set rule of what they're supposed to be like. And plus, if you're not great at painting or whatever, then you're stuck with like a really boring grey figure. And also, I don't know, I'd pay someone to do it, I suppose.
True. Well, see, there is that element. I agree that they're giving you the option, aren't they? They're saying you can be creative, you can paint them however you want. But yeah, if you're not good at painting, or you don't enjoy painting, or you can't afford all the paints and all the what, you know, then yeah, you are stuck with just a boring grey one. And another thing, like my initial thought is just difficult, and you've got to be super confident, because a lot of those games are expensive. Okay, like Warhammer, it's been ages since I've collected Warhammer, but they're quite expensive, but you can just buy like one figure on its own or whatever and sort of take it step by step. But if you're paying like 60-70 quid for the Aliens versus Predator base set, that's an expensive fuck up if you ruin the characters. And like the dropship, that's 150 quid's worth of model. You better be damn confident that you can paint that well, otherwise you've just shat over 150 quid.
I would go down the route for those kind of things of just sort of spray painting a certain colour overall and not bothering going all the detail and everything.
Which is like a base, like army green kind of sort of thing. Yeah, I suppose.
But then there's, you know, stuff like Horror Clicks, they all came as
ready-made
models. But I think there should be an option if you want to do that. Okay, you'd probably pay loads more.
I was going to say, yeah, you would hike the price up, wouldn't it? But
I imagine if you had to paint and do all of the Horror Click stuff, or if you had the Horror Clicks and they were all just the grey plastic unpainted.
Yeah, that would just be dull. Yeah. So I can see why, but it's not for everyone, is it? Do you have any previous experience of painting figures? Have you ever?
I had a few Games Workshop ones, yeah.
Did you paint them?
Things.
Did you paint them?
I had an orc with a jetpack.
Nice.
Got that. But no, I would have loved to, but then I collected, it was either orcs, well actually I had that and a little orc car thing, which looked terrible when I painted it. It just ruined it. And then I went on to the skeleton, I can't remember what they're called, they're all skeletons basically. It was like horses but skeletons, and that was just plastic. They came as skeletons, you just glued them together. Easy. I think that's probably why I went down that route, because you didn't have to paint the skeletons.
Were they just bone colour?
They were like cream and they looked fine. I mean, you could proper do the bone and the shading, but no, but it was the expense. Like that, like one figure was like 6 quid. That was years ago. I do not want to know how much they are these days.
No, I think the same. So yeah, when I was secondary school, I guess, I had Warhammer, I had Tyranids, and the trouble is I could never be consistent. Like I had some Tyranid warriors that were shit. They were just shit. Like I ruined them, splubbed it on. But then I did a really cool set of Gene Stealers in like purple and black and sort of stuff, and they were really good and I was really proud of those. And then again, another bit shit. So you end up with this hodgepodge army of like, oh, I've got some characters that look really good and other characters that look like, you know, here's my picture by William age 3 and a half, you know, kind of thing.
They did some pewter models of a Doctor Who miniatures game, and I got a few of those. So I had an Ice Warrior. That was easy. I just painted it green.
Yeah.
And then they had the picture like, advertising them all, and they were all painted beautifully and they looked amazing. And then you bought it in the shop and it was like this bit of metal. Like, oh, it's never going to look as good.
I used to love, so my brother used to get White Dwarf, the Warhammer magazine.
Yeah, my brother
too. I used to just love looking through that and seeing like the amazing painted bits, and you're just like, Wow.
I mean, it wasn't just the models. It was like all the terrain and the buildings and all of that. And you know, if you attempted that, it would never look great. It would never look good.
Not at all. Not at all. I do still have, like, I don't have any of my Warhammer characters. I don't know what happened to them when I grew up, went to uni, whatever. Don't know. They're gone. But I have one Lictor claw, like, you know, from one of the monsters that I painted. And it's like this really cool black and like midnight blue color scheme. And I still have that on my shelf in my room. Just this one piece of Warhammer that I was like, actually, I've painted that pretty good. I like that. I'm going to keep that.
I think I got the Orc and stuff because at one point they Games Workshop did like a, it was like a loyalty thing. You got a stamp. I remember getting a stamp every time you went and got a character and you built up to get a certain amount of stamps and you got like something free or something. That's, I remember cool. A little like card having like a little.
Yeah. Again, I can't remember like whether this happens, but like if you buy a figure, it should just have like a little leaflet or something saying these are the exact colours you need. Paint this, almost like colour by numbers, you know, paint this bit this, then paint this bit that.
But I suppose you're supposed to be a bit more creative in that you create your army and you're like, my army is going to be this colour. These are my army for my, I'm going to fight whoever who's got the same models as mine, but they painted it different.
Yeah.
So have you actually ever played Warhammer, the game, with a proper set?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it complicated? I always think it looks complicated.
Yeah, it's quite complicated. I mean, like, you can dumb it down and just gloss over certain things. It's basically each character has a distance they can move, and then you choose what weapon they're going to fire, and that has a distance, and you roll this and shield, you know, they roll for their defense. It's that sort of stuff. But because the sheer amount of different weapons and boosted, you know, it's just like, well, okay, he can move 6 centimeters, but he's got power boots, which gives him an extra this, and he's got a defense, but, you know, it can rapidly spiral. But no, I have. We had this friend, Benny, who used to take it really seriously, and he had so many, you know, we'd go around and play, and he'd just be like, oh, well, this is my main army, but you can just use one of my backup armies, and we can fight, you know, just had loads. You know, no, so I have played it a few times. It's like, it's really good, but it's so expensive. And so, as I said, just can just spiral into such complexity.
Were they all painted nice, those ones?
Painted, can't remember the degree of niceness. I mean, they, you know, they were all right. They were serviceable painting, I think. Sorry, Benny, if you're listening.
Play what you feel.
Okay, so we set ourselves a little challenge. I randomly, so one of my colleagues at work was just clearing out and he found just 3 random Lord of the Rings figures from the Lord of the Rings tabletop game. So decided we would pick one each and we would have a go at painting it with our limited painting experience. We've each recorded just our little journeys. Obviously, it took us a few months because, you know, different other things going on, but we've each recorded our painting journey. So I will play those painting sequences now. Okay, so I have officially started my figure painting journey by going to Warhammer and buying some paints. Now, I initially thought I was just going to go in there, have a look and be like, yeah. But I was immediately pounced upon by Warhammer employees, about 3 of them. And this is not a dig, by the way, because I literally just said, yeah, I'm painting Eomer from Lord of the Rings. And they were straight in there. Right, boom, you need this. Oh, he wears this kind of armor. You probably need this kind of color. Oh, and he's a bit like this, isn't he? And it just like, so really, really quickly, I got 6 different colours with amazing names. So I've got White Scar for, as they reliably told me, that you should probably do a base coat of white or black to make it easier. So that's what I've got, White Scar. I've got Word Bearer's Red for some armour. Mournfang Brown, love it. Zamizi Desert for his lovely blonde hair. Lead Belcher, which is like a silver colour, for his chainmail. And Kislev Flesh for his skin. But fair play to them. They knew exactly what they were, just like straight on it with the paints. So there you go. Got me some paints. I'm really reluctant to actually use them though, because I don't want to fuck it up. But nah, we shall see. Okay, so I have just done a base coat, which is something that I knew by myself that I needed to do, but I did still ask the Games Workshop dude about it, and he said it's better to do a couple of thin coats rather than one thick coat. And like an idiot, I was just like, yes, of course. But I didn't really think to ask, well, like, how am I in control of what a thin coat and a thick coat is? Anyway, I've just done a couple of coats of white then with like as little paint on my brush as possible. Hopefully it hasn't like swamped any of the minuscule details on the figure, but just from those base coats, a couple of things are already becoming really, really obvious. Number one, lighting is so important. In my dingy sort of light that I was doing it, it's pretty much impossible to tell some of the bits. And when it's white on silver, I was like, have I done this bit? Have I not done this bit? Whatever. And second, like, some of those bits are ridiculously small. I'm going to need the tiniest, pointiest brush ever to do this. He's going to look a mess. Aemir of the Rohirrim is going to be the laughing stock of all of Rohan. But yeah, currently I have a white figure ready to put some colour on. Okay, so the next dilemma is, how do I actually go about this? Like, do I take it colour by colour? Like, do all the silver and then do all the brown? Do I do it bit by bit? Who knows? There's so many intricate little details. It's going to be difficult either way. But what I've decided on is I'm going to start from the top and work my way down. Because, logic, right? If any drips or mistakes or shit happens, it will drip downwards. Gravity, science. So if I start from the top, then once the head is done, if I fuck up and something drips down on the body, it will drip down onto a bit that I haven't painted yet, and therefore won't ruin anything that I've already done. Sensible. Time to start on Aemir's helmet then. Wish me luck. Okay, so I've had a go at his head, and Jesus, I do not have a steady hand. You know, like when you don't really notice it before, but when you're trying to do something that precise, like, Jesus, my hands are shaking all over the place. But also, it's really fun, and like, I just can't wait to do the next bit. And I know it's not amazing, and it looks a bit shonky, but it really does bring the character to life. Like, I can see why people do it. It's so much better than just having that sort of featureless, single-coloured figure. So yeah, here we go. Fingers crossed for the rest. Okay, so I've been doing it bit by bit, and I finally got a whole coat, like all the colours are done. He is painted pretty much, but I've been Googling. There's a few, it looks a bit, you know, like, I don't know, primary school, I guess, just flat, you know, flat blocks of colour. So I'm going to try some advanced techniques to try and highlight some bits. Wish me luck, or maybe this will just fuck the whole thing up. Maybe I should quit while I'm not ahead, but tolerably average. Righto, so I've just done a really simple, really thin black wash just to get some like shadows in the grooves. And oh my god, it really makes bits pop. Like, I can totally see why people do it. It just, I don't know, it's just added this extra dimension to it. And it's so simple. Just dilute a load of paint with some water and splob it on. Sorry, any like actual painters listening to this cringing there. But yeah, good move with the wash. Okay, so I am officially done. I've done one more step. I went and put some like highlights on it with white. So they use the wash to make the shadows and then the white to like show where the light would shine or something. Not super impressed with my abilities on that one. I think I'd splubbed it on a bit, but definitely going to stop now. I think there's a point where, I mean, you could infinitely just keep adding little touches and little highlights and little details. But for someone of my remedial skills, I think I've hit my peak, so I should just leave it as it is now. But overall, yes, it was an enjoyable, fun experience.
Paint Your Miniature, Part 1. Now, I've just opened the packet and I've got Aragorn looking cool with a massive sword. And it's a pewter figure. I thought it might have been plastic. I think pewter's more difficult to paint. I haven't really looked up a lot, but apparently with the pewter figures, they need to have a bit of a wash first because there can be some residue when it comes out of the mould. That's more difficult to paint onto. So he's going to have a little bit of a wash before I do anything else. And then I've got to stick him into his stand. So off he goes to get a wash before anything else. Right, he's had a little wash and he's in his stand. So first thing to do is to give him a base coat. So the question is, you know, normally when I've done this before, I've done a spray paint, but we're going to use acrylic paint and do a dry brushing technique. Just the minimal amount of paint just over the top, not even getting completely over everything, just giving it a base to get in all those little, because it's so detailed. The question is whether to do white or black, because if it's white, it's easier to get the lighter colours. If it's going to be black, then you get the shading on the character, but it's more difficult to get those other colours. I've decided to go for white, so he's just going to get a brush over of just white, very sort of as dry as possible. Right, first coat done. Of course, a massive blob of paint went on there. It was the minimal amount of paint that I needed, so I don't want it to get in too much and dry too much and get rid of the detail. So massive blob went on, and that was enough just to go over the whole figure. So now I've got that base coat on and that's dry. I'm going to put some basic colours on. Again, dry brushing, not bothering too much to get in the detail, but just getting the basic colours on. And then I'll go over again and put more detail on. So I need to choose the colours. I'm going to give him a green cloak. I think green would be good. Maybe like a red lining, not sure. And then just sort of do browns and yellows over his tunic and boots and stuff. So I've just put some basic colours on. Actually, the green is much lighter than I thought. Giving him some brown boots. It's a very rough, sort of light dusting of colour over the top. That's just dried. So now I'm going to go in with a bit more detail and put another layer on. I think this is going to be a couple of layers of colours to get to the colours that I want. It's really difficult to get the detail on these, though. So I think we're going to get the basic idea of where colours are. Maybe not on exactly the right places where they should be. I think I might have gone wrong on the colours a little bit. So the coat is quite bright green and I gave it a red inside lining. Then it's got like a brown tunic on and a yellow sash and yellow boots. But using all that brown, the brown and the red, it's all sort of merged and he's all a bit browny, murky. So I'm going to have to go over again in a bit more detail. I might have to change the red lining of the coat because it just looks like blood.
So there you go. Step-by-step sequence of our painting journeys. It was an emotional roller coaster. But the big reveal, do you have your character with you? And obviously, I will put pictures of these up. Obviously, that would be shit podcast.
Mine's awful, though.
Show us Aragorn.
Okay, his face isn't painted because I haven't got the right colour for his face.
Yeah, okay.
So he looks very grey.
Oh, that's pretty good, though. I like it.
Yeah, up close, it's not. He looks like a zombie.
He does.
Because he hasn't got any flesh colours.
Yeah.
Well, the difficulty was, and I have said this in my bit, is because it's the metal. I think it's much easier when they're plastic.
Yes.
And I think nowadays they're nearly always plastic. Not this pewter stuff I find really difficult because they always used to be pewter back in the day.
And you would think, well, the metal ones are probably way more expensive than plastic ones anyway, right?
Possibly. I don't know. But it needed a lot of different layers. Like, how fine a brush did you use? Was it like...
I just had a reasonably small, reasonably pointy brush that I could find. I didn't buy any specific brushes. I just looked in my craft box and used the one that I thought was the most appropriate.
Okay, so where's yours?
So here's Amir.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, yours is like... Okay, you're holding it up to the screen quite... It looks massive. It looks like twice the size of mine.
No, they're to scale. They're from the same game, but yeah.
Oh, that good. You've got a good colour scheme there. Oh, we see you've got like... That's like chainmail.
Yes.
That's easier. So I wasn't sure.
A cloak, isn't he? And
yeah, so I had the cloak. My problem was, and I changed the colours, because I had the coat. Aragorn's got a coat, like a tunic, boots, and like a thing around his shoulder. He's holding arrows and all sorts of stuff. And I chose green for the coat.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to do like the lining of the coat, because you can see like inside, like maybe a red.
Yeah.
But then that just looked really bad with the red. So I did that darker green. And then his like boots and his sash and his tunic and his hair, it's all brown. So it all went all a bit sort of
brown.
But that's what I was like, well, that's what they all wear, sort of brown, don't they? He's not wearing any other bright colours. Even green's probably a bit bright for him. So it was to try and... So it didn't really make it look very interesting. And then all the colours sort of merged and went all a bit blur. So that's what I found really difficult.
Nice. As I said in my sequence, I just went into Warhammer and said, I'm painting Eomer. And the dude was just like, oh, boom, well, you need this colour, this colour, this colour. I was like, thank you.
So yours are like screen accurate.
As a close. Well, I mean, you know, I tried to be. Yeah. I had a little picture of him up on Google while I was painting and be like, okay, well, that bit's roughly a silvery colour and that bit's roughly a gold
colour. But like the face, I mean, I didn't have the right sort of colour paints for, and I used acrylic paints.
I just used the Warhammer paints.
Which, like, I think they are acrylic, okay. The Warhammer ones, like water-based paint. And I did like a base coat first, but then like the detail on the face, it's so fine. I mean, I can't even see it like myself with my eyes, let alone if it's well painted or not, or whether if you're going to do like a face, it's so tiny.
Yeah.
Like it would just have to be like a blob of, and that's the problem with these ones, the detail. You put like a blob of paint on and the blob just like goes in all the different creases, and like you can't even see the features on the face if you're not careful. It's just like a blob of paint.
Yeah.
And because there's so much detail on like the weapons and like the bag and stuff, you could go in, you know, all the little like ropes around his little, I think he's carrying like a tent or something, maybe all the little ropes and stuff. I mean, you'd have to have such a fine paintbrush and just use just the tiniest bit of paint.
Yeah,
like I think probably if, and I mean, these look just as good as the ones I did like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
like a blob, just a general colours rather than just the detail is probably the way that I would go.
It's the kind of thing that takes tons and tons of practice to get good. But what do you practice on? What is cheap enough that still looks like a little figure, you know?
Well, I suppose you could spray paint it and start all over again and just on the same figure.
I suppose, yeah, you could. Yeah, don't know. But obviously, listeners, I will put a picture of both of our Lord of the Rings characters and we will open it up to a poll as to...
Oh no. No, because yours is going to win because it looks better.
We shall let the listeners decide. Fire transcends order. Now, Riley paints figures quite a lot. He paints his Marvel, I want to say Marvel United figures, quite a lot. And unfortunately, because of the time that we're recording, it is middle of the night for Riley. But I did ask Riley to record just his thoughts, his process of how he paints figures. So I will edit that in now.
Hi, everyone. This is Riley. Phil asked me to share my mini painting process. So here it is. I usually pick a dozen or so miniatures that I'm going to paint. And when I'm picking them, I sometimes try to get a couple with similar color scheme. We'll get into why in a little bit, but most minis will have mold lines that are slightly raised or little raised circles where they broke off the sprues, and I'll use clippers and a file to try and get rid of those little imperfections on the miniature. I bought like a set that has the clippers and the file. Pretty useful. And then after that, plastic and resin minis usually have some sort of residue from the molding process that can make paint not stick to it very well. So like later when you're painting and there's this one spot where the paint just seems to run off or not stick very well, it's probably because you didn't wash it. It happens to me all the time because this is the thing I forget to do the most. So I do a bowl and I'll put like a little bit of soap in there and then I'll put the miniatures in there and I just kind of like stir them around in there a little bit. And then I take a toothbrush and I'll pull them out. I'll brush them gently all around them and then rinse them off really good with lukewarm water and then let them dry. After that, I prime them. So one of the reasons that I choose multiple minis is so that I can prime all of them at once rather than just doing one at a time. And the primer helps the paint stick. So I line them up on a cardboard box, go outside on the grass or something, spray them all around at every angle I can, make sure they're covered decently. And then I take them back inside so that they're warm. You don't want it to be too cold when you prime because it could lead to some bubbling effects or some cracking like effects in the like primer as it dries. And then after that, it's finally time to paint. I feel like I've been talking forever and we're just barely getting to the actual painting. So I'll pick the mini that I want to paint, and usually that's whatever I want to paint the most, right? That makes sense. And I start with the most prominent color on the mini. So it's usually like something on the outfit, like the shirt or jeans or whatever it is. And I'll just kind of pretty sloppily, I don't care too much about crossing lines, painting in the lines there. I'll go over everything that's that color. And then after that, part of that's just because I want to get some color on the mini so that it looks good to me while I'm painting. Just like it's a mental visual thing. But after that, I paint the more recessed areas. So usually like the clothes clothing has the bump that goes to the neck, and then the hair, and there's that hairline because the hair, you know, comes up from the miniature. So I'll paint the skin first and try and paint in the lines as best as I can. But part of the reason I do the recess part is because then if I get on the, it's easier to like mess up and get on the spots that are raised than it is to get on the spots that are below. So like when I'm painting the skin, oftentimes my brush will get a little bit of that color, whatever skin color I'm painting, on the hairline or on the collar. And so by starting there, I don't have to like repaint the skin too often. And then it's easier for me, at least, to paint like hair. I'm doing the brown on the hair or whatever color, and it's easier for me not to get that onto the skin. I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's a normal thing, but that's how it is for me. And then after that, I work my way up to the raised area. So if there's only two layers like that, like the skin, like face and hands. Sometimes there's shoes and then the pants are kind of bigger than that. But then I go to whatever layer is above that, whatever is more out there. And I'm always careful on these ones to not go over the lines, you know, paint within the lines. After I finish that, I may do highlighting depending on how brave I'm feeling. I should always do highlighting because I don't think I've actually ever been ashamed of it or sad. It always makes it look better, guys. It always makes it look better. So what I'll do there is I'll start with, like, if I'm doing the pants and they're blue pants, I'll start with a slightly darker shade of blue than what I use. And if I don't have that, you can just take a little bit of black paint, a tiny bit, and then mix it in with more blue so that it just brings that down, right? And then with that, I'll paint in the little recesses, the cracks, wherever shadows would be. So I'm painting shadows, essentially. And a lot of those are going to be like folds in jeans, right? Or pants or clothing. The underarms or under the crotch, those types of things. Then after that, I paint the lighter shade, the highlights, the light lights, I don't know what you call it. And with that, it's the same thing. I take that same base blue for blue jeans, let's say, and then go a shade or two lighter than that. You can take a little bit of white, mix it with that blue, and then you go and you do any raised areas, the most raised areas. So a lot of the times, those actually line up with those same kind of folds that make the dark shadowy areas. So then there'll be like dark shadow in the dent, go up, and then normal blue, and then a little higher than that, there'll be a nice little line of light, and that's where like the light is hitting its most, right? And a lot of like collars will have that. Hair, you know, in hair is a fun one to do, especially it can be tedious because a lot of times there's so many bumps in there. So you do the dark in those bumps, and then you can do dry brushing if you want it, or yeah, dry brushing is probably great. Dry brushing, you take paint, just a little bit of paint on this short brush, kind of, it could be fluffy sometimes, and do a little on there, brush it off so that there is just a little bit, like use a paper towel and just brush that paint off so there's just a little bit of paint left, and then take that and like quickly go over the top of that area. So like on hair, there's so many bumps that when you're doing that, the paint isn't going to go down into the cracks. And so that's a good way to get a quick kind of highlight sort of thing. You could do that for the highlight even. If you have like your base brown, you do the dark brown in the bumps and then dry brush it, then it'll add that highlight. Or you can do it for your base brown and then add a couple of highlights on the hair, like a lot of strand type stuff, right? Like each bump might have just a thin light brown in there or something. Sorry, I'm rambling about that, but I love highlighting. It really does make it look so much better. And it, even just dry brushing, like most places, I mean, face where there's skin, that can add a lot of depth to that because I don't go into too much detail on the face because I'm bad at eyes. Sometimes lips can look funny if you get the like too bright of a lip color, you know, red color or whatever. I don't know, it's tricky. But after all of that, I'll go through, I'll do some touch-ups of paint that's going over, and then I'll use a wash, which is a liquid color, essentially. So usually I'll do black or brown, depending on what I'm painting, and I'll go over the entire miniature with that. And that, because it's a liquid, it goes into those cracks really good, and I'll let that dry. That takes a little bit longer, but then it really emphasizes those low points. That'll also, if you're doing it the way I'm doing it, it'll also darken everything else. Or if you're using brown, sometimes I use it to like dirty things up. So if I'm doing like a mech, I'll do the brown on it, and it almost gives it like a rusted look or a dirty look, like dirt's on it. And that's really fun. I really like doing that. Some people will do, and sometimes I do this, they'll take the wash and use that at the very beginning. That way they can see, it really helps show the low points and kind of the high points, because liquid will run off of those high points because it's kind of a mountain, a peak, and then it'll stick into those low points. And then people use that as kind of a guide guide to help them paint. And sometimes you can even see that when you're painting, like sometimes if you're painting light enough or thin enough, then you can see those shades underneath it. Which also, forgot to talk about primers. They say to use white for heroic, right? Because it's like a lighter, brighter color, and then dark. So dark black, or like black, and then there's grays. So some of those can make them look a little bit more menacing, dark, shadowy. And those really do kind of bleed through while you're painting, which is neat. I, a lot of times, like to just go with the middle and get a decent gray color and paint that way. And most primers are spray on primers, and you just need to look at the can and find one that's like specifically says it's good for plastic. So then after I'm done with the wash, I'll go through again and just check for any touch-ups that I need to do, because sometimes that can bring up some things that I missed before. And even, and then as well, also, you can take those lighter colors and do highlights again, or even just the base color if you think that it darkened it too much. I take way too long probably on my miniatures. I wish I could do them faster. After that's done though, I'll spray them with a matte clear finish spray, and that helps protect them from oily little fingers from messing up the paint later. And then they're done. That's it. That's great. I can put them away in their boxes and play with them, make them talk to each other and tell my little stories. Oh, I love you. I don't love you. I love Brandos. Anyways, here's some other tips. Red, white, and yellow are pain in the ass colors. There's some scientific reason, but I'm not smart enough to remember what that is. But essentially, they dry faster. And if you go heavier with them, they may look splotchy or have tiny little bumps on them for whatever reason. And I hate it because like I'll do a white color on like Gamora from Galaxies of the Guardian. I love that miniature. I'm really happy with how it looks, but because it was drying so fast, I tried to go a little heavier on my brush to paint it. And so now there's these little bumps that don't look amazing. So, but most of the time, like maybe that's just me. I'm sure most people might not notice. So a couple ways to do, well, really the way to get rid of that is to thin your paint. So using a wet palette goes a long way. You can find those usually pretty cheap for like $5 or $10. And that's like a sponge with this little paper, wax paper type stuff that you can put your paint on, and it keeps it nice and wet. It's also nice to keep it from session to session. So like I have them and sometimes they'll last like a month and I can still go back and use some of those paints that I put on that wet palette a month later. Another way, and sometimes you have to do this with the wet palette as well, is to take just a drop of water or put a little water on your brush and then mix it in with your paint. It's a hard balance to find because you're going to make it too watery sometimes or not watery enough. And sometimes you're going to go and paint with it and it's going to be like, this isn't even going on. This is pointless. So then you have to mix in more paint and try and thicken up the paint a little bit. But when you get it, it's beautiful. It goes on and it can be really, really light. Like if you want your miniature to look super smooth and clean, you want it to be pretty light to where you're brushing it on and you have to do like 10 layers or more sometime. And so you'll be going over the same areas over and over and over again. But some of my best miniatures have been painted that way. I've even painted that way with just washes, because each time you go over it with a wash, it'll darken and make it more that color. So sometimes I've used like blue washes on jeans, and then I'll go over it with that over and over again, and then I'll just do a dry brush over it. I also use a headlamp on my head. I look dorky, sort of, to make the miniature brighter, right? To just lighten up and help me focus on there so I don't miss as much. And I think it's a lot better than having like an overhead lamp or something, because you're bound to get shadows on that. But with this, I can pretty easily position the miniature and my head and make it focus where I'm looking. I think that is it. Wow, that was really long. Sorry, Phil. Sorry, everybody, if that was boring, but that's how I paint miniatures. I'm really excited to see how all of your miniatures turned out. Oh my gosh, I can't speak. I'm really excited to see how all of your miniatures turned out, or however many miniatures you painted. I don't know. I'm excited to see that. So yeah, you can, if you want to talk about painting or have more questions, I'm not an expert. I have a sensei, as I say, that I turn to all my painting stuff for, but I can ask him on behalf of you. But you can reach out to me on Twitter at RiledNerd. And yeah, I love painting miniatures. Bye. Bye. I hope everybody will paint some miniatures in honor of this episode and post them, or just post the miniatures they have. I don't know. You'll probably say all of this, Phil. I'm sure you will. Or Mark. I don't know. Whatever. I'm rambling. Bye.
dude.
Wow, thanks, Riley. That was super comprehensive. And loads of the technical stuff that I hadn't even thought about, like the temperature and the different colours behaving in different ways, like the properties of the paint.
So there you go. Has your, after this whole painting figures journey, has your opinion slash your thoughts changed? Obviously, we had our initial thoughts. How, like, would you paint all your figures now for games? Has your perspective changed after going on this journey of self-discovery?
No. No, I wouldn't want to. Oh, you'd have to have a lot of time, and I'd rather just buy them, or I would just, I'm sure on like Etsy or something, you can buy like a load of ready-made characters and stuff. I'd just have to get someone else to do it.
Yeah. And that is interesting, because one of Riley's friends is like a commissioned painter, and people literally just pay for him to paint their figures and stuff really properly. So if you've got the skills, you could earn tons, probably.
I would be more interested. I would like to concentrate on the terrain. If you're doing like a board, even for like D&D, you can have like a set board or like a forest and do like miniature trees and tunnels and stuff. I would prefer to do that than paint all the figures. I do all the other stuff and then I would just buy the figures to put into it.
Yeah. And I think I wouldn't say my attitude changed. Like, I did really enjoy the process of painting this. And like, as I said in my sequence, like, it's really brought the character to life. It's gone from this plain silver metal thing to, you know, it might not look exactly like Eomer, but it is a dude and he does have armor and he does have a color scheme and it's brought the character to life. But, you know, this was just a no consequence random figure. If I was doing it to a game that I owned and loved with loads, I'd worry about the consistency. It's the same as anything, you know, when you're drawing pictures, it starts off really good, but the tireder you get or the longer you do it, you start to get and you're just like, oh yeah, I'll settle for that. It's not perfect. You're going to end up with some very special looking soldiers, aren't you, by the end of it? And again, it all comes down to the money. Like, I really enjoyed it, but would I do it for something like Aliens versus Predator and paint every single creature, every single marine? No, I wouldn't, because I'd be too worried about fucking it up. But yeah.
Can you get Arkham figures?
You can. They did release special packs where you get like 5 and they're all painted.
Right, yes. Painted. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, because the ones that come with the games are just the grey, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you could paint those.
You could. Oh, actually, it's just Mansions of Madness that has the actual figures, isn't it? Because Arkham are just cardboard standees.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, again, no, I'd never do that. Like, Mansions of Madness, there is hundreds of pounds worth of plastic in that box. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't, would you? Would you? Would you?
No, I wouldn't. No. It would be cool if they were done, but I wouldn't myself.
But yeah, well, there you go. I guess just, obviously, listeners, please vote in our little poll, our little ego poll. But also, you know, let us know your thoughts. Do you paint your figures? Have you got any pictures you want to share? Whack us on the Twitter or the Facebook of, you know, if you've painted Warhammers or figures from Arkham Horror or Alien vs. Predator or anything that has figures, show us your painting. Show us your best painted figures. I think that'd be really good. And, you know, put me and Mark in our place. I'm sure there are people out there with infinite more skills than us. Absolutely. Well, yeah, there you go. I've been Phil.
I've been Mark.
And that recording has been Riley. So thanks for listening. I've done it wrong. And remember, non relinquum in arca operculo. You can find us on Facebook at Organized Fun Pod. Find us on X at Fun Organized. Thanks for listening. Bye, Ludophiles. Bye.
You should find what it's keep painting or whatever in whatever language that is at the end.
What?
Non relinquum.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Keep painting your figures. But anyway. Bye.
Wait, I can do that now. Ut figuras pingis. There you go. Ut figuras pingis. Bye.
Normal service will now resume.
Good night.